Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I gotta tell you, I'm still stuck on this Meta thing. I'm still stuck on how bizarre and creepy that video was. I don't think he blinked much either. I mean, it's one of those weird kind of, is that real or is that Memorex? Is that some kind of weird AI? Because even the people walking by were creepy. But the message was worse. I mean, I got this eerie feeling of, now we're going to take over the world. Metaverse, where we control everything. Scary, scary, crazy times. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, will this solve Facebook's crisis? And also to discuss his conversation or confrontation with Madison Cawthorn. I've asked Jack Cucciarella to come talk with us. Jack is the digital guru over at Retire Marco and Remove Ron. He's also the co-host of the Zoomed In podcast. Jack, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me on again. It's always a pleasure. It's always a privilege. Glad to be back and glad to have a lot to talk about. Well, maybe not super glad to be talking about Facebook again. Never a fun topic, but it's always fun to make fun of Mark Zuckerberg a little bit, because, you know, if he's going to be attacking our democracy, we can poke fun at the fact that he doesn't blink, or that he just operates with this blank stare of, I'm a robot, I'm here to take over the world. So, but glad to be back on.
No, and look, you know, we've over the last couple of days, we've found out that what we already knew, that most of the crazy organizing that went on the extreme right, most of the organizing that went into the January 6th insurrection, was because of Facebook and their algorithm of pushing hatred and the worst possible content to keep you addicted to the hate. It's the Orwellian 2 minutes hate right there on Facebook all day long.
Mm-hmm. It's what their platform is. It's what they feed. It's what they make money off of. They can sell it. They can advertise it. And so they do. Did you see the study that came out? I think it was an internal one done, that they created the profile of, just a conservative-leaning mom, and within 2 days she had joined QAnon.
Yep.
Just because of how Facebook pushes you around, like that is their goal. It is to push you to radical levels, to spend more time, to give them more attention. They're like a child. It's like, give me more attention. I feed off of it. I will push in whatever direction I need to go. It's kind of like the Republican Party. It's almost like these things are connected in the way they work.
Yeah, the hate machine works. And look, that goes into the what we found out about, you know, how they weigh likes versus angry emoji face. Angry emoji face evidently is worth 5 likes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. It's what they feed off of. It's the rage machine. And so if they can do more of that, that's what they will. And if it's at the expense of us, they don't really seem to mind because they are trying to take over. And nothing's really going to stop them if they have to.
Yeah, and it's not really about the country, because I think he has global ambitions. Says they're the most used product in the history of civilization. And look, you know, he's all about bringing people together, even if it means they're coming together to overthrow our democracy.
And do you remember, was it 2016? There was some talk. I don't even know who was generating it, but like, oh, Mark Zuckerberg, you know, a couple of years down the road, maybe a run for president. Is this someone that we want as a lead? And like, now we're like, whoa, how do we slow that down? And we see this guy wants to be controlled. Let's not, like, you know, he's touching democracy enough. Let's keep him away from any sort of power besides the one that he's trying to cultivate on his own. But, you know, his sort of drug like Facebook addiction that he's trying to get people sucked into, you know. You got social media companies, you got internet companies, and you got drug dealers. Those are people who describe the people who consume what they have. Those are users, right? Mark Zuckerberg wants users. He wants people to get sucked in so he can use them.
And you got on a certain level, give them some credit, because they have changed what had meant once somewhat lucid, rational, somewhat thoughtful people into rabid haters.
Yeah. And I think that's been the goal. I guess you got to give them props for it, because they've been successful in undermining democracy at every corner. Hopefully there can be a stop put to that soon. Hopefully we can come together and understand having a monopoly in information and shared experience online is something that is bad. I think hopefully we can get a little help from the Republican Party on that, maybe coming together in some bipartisan way if we can get them to work on something. I don't know if they will. I don't know if they are willing to come to the table on that, but I think it's a good argument to be made that if we're gonna act on something, it's preventing a monopoly in information. I think that would be a reason to come together for once, for maybe one time, just
Yeah,
one
yeah,
time.
yeah. We haven't seen them do much on monopoly, and I would argue we're in the monopoly stage of capitalism right now already, and it's only going to get worse. You go down the line, agriculture, manufacturing, information, all a ha you know, media, all a handful of companies controlling everything we see, hear, read, consume. Not a good time.
No, not at all. And I think that if we can start with Facebook, we can start with this huge, just like, huge, huge, huge monopoly that they're trying to amass. And if we can start there, maybe we can see that breaking those up in other places will be potentially beneficial to society as it operates. If these top levels of companies and people aren't controlling everything from the bottom down,
Yeah.
if we can see the effect that it has on our mental health and our democratic institutions, just on Facebook, we can see how it'll affect us elsewhere in terms of affecting workers in different industries.
I mean, ultimately, though, doesn't that come back to us, though? I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't had Facebook notifications on or any social media notifications on in forever. I consume what it is that I'm seeking. Anything they push at me, I automatically disregard. I don't even look at half of the things that are on my feed. I seek out certain things, but I don't fall in that rabbit hole. I don't allow myself.
Yeah, you can say that if there's a bigger movement to delete Facebook and for people to move off the platform, that could be beneficial. They have billions of users. There's billions of users on Instagram, the messaging app that they have, just different platforms that they own. And it's difficult to say that the way we have to beat this company is to change our lives entirely from what they were when they, as a manager of their product, had the ability to change it for the better, to fix it in a way that's not going to be detrimental to the mental health of young people, that won't undermine democratic institutions. If they can put a stop to pushing mis and disinformation, those are the steps that they need to take. It's difficult to put it on us, the consumer, who just on the this micro level interacts with them. When the big issues are coming from these systemic problems that exist within the organization
Yeah.
that they can put a stop to and that they understand how to stop or how to slow down.
And since you brought this up, I mean, I'm looking at the fact that what comes out of this, we now have people like Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Madison Cawthorn. We get these nothing people with horrible ideas in positions of power, and have hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people who hang on their words. And they're basically lunatics. And you had an opportunity to ask Madison Cawthorn why he won't stopping our attacking our democracy, because he's one of the guys who riled things up. And in fact, his name is
Oh,
on
yeah.
that list of people who, before January 6th, was involved in possibly involved in the planning.
Yeah, well, of course it was. Of course he was a part of that. He has been adamant about his willingness to attack democracy. Recently, he was at a little bit of a rally or a semi-town hall, a meet and greet, and he said that depending on how things go in 2022 or 2024, he might be willing to take up arms against his fellow Americans. This is a sitting member of Congress saying that not only was he was a part of the first insurrection, but he's got more insurrection planning in his head going forward, right? He was saying, maybe the first one wasn't all that it was cut out to be. Maybe we didn't get exactly what we wanted
Yeah, we
done.
didn't get
But
to hang Mike Pence.
this next insurrection, boy, I'm gonna tell you, it's gonna be something. I'm already thinking. That's what Madison Cawthorn is telling the Republican Party. You saw that Bill Maher clip, maybe that was a couple weeks ago, and he was saying that right now Trump is putting in place the secretaries of state, the attorneys general, the governors, the representatives all across the country, not just to boost his ego, but he's getting these radical people in positions of power, not just so they can appeal to the Trump voters, not so they can rile up the base, but in 2024, he wants those who did not help him execute on his plan to overthrow the election. He wants them to actually be people who will say, yes, I am willing to turn my back on democracy. And that's what Madison Cawthorn is. He exists to help to help the MAGA movement go forward. He is not a person of any substance, any intellect on how to improve our country. He is simply a MAGA tool. And that's what all of these people are. And we have to treat them as such. They are not legitimate members of our government because they exist to attack our government. So we should only treat them as that.
But sadly, they are in these positions, and there are people who follow them, and rabidly. Most people can't name but a handful of members of Congress. But these guys, everybody seems to know who they are.
Yeah, they're basically, they fall into the OAN, the Fox, the Breitbart. They are like physical, they represent that propaganda network as people. They go around as the propaganda network. That's what they are to do. They're the fish oil salesmen of the Republican Party, going around and preaching its false message. They're the false prophets of the Fox News, of the Trumps. And so, yeah, they're in positions of power. And it's difficult to be in Congress and also attack the existence of Congress as well, to vote against the power of Congress, to vote against the power of democracy. So it's a very difficult dichotomy when there's these people who serve in our government but don't think it should exist or attack it. And it's difficult to take them seriously because we've never really seen something like this, but it is happening now.
But the reality is the Republican Party has always been the party of government doesn't work, government shouldn't do anything, can't do anything. Everything they do is horrible. But hey, vote for us so we can run government and show that it doesn't work.
Well, it's, this election was fake. This election, don't count these votes, this and that. But I won my election. It's like the election was false, but no. If I'm a representative in Georgia, sure, Trump won the election, but, so did I. Like, it was a fake election and the machines were rigged and it was all fraudulent, but I won. So that's their new message. It used to be government is bad, but elect me. Now it's the election was fake, but elect me, or the election is going to be fake and fraudulent, but elect me. So I don't know how they're getting from these points that they're creating, but that's the new wave of the Republican Party.
Yeah, well, because they don't have any ideas. I mean, look at the fact that you have this Build Back Better plan that's now been watered down to Build Back a little bit better, maybe, and we're not getting the things that people need overwhelmingly, regardless of political ideology. The people I've run into, the things that were on there that got chucked, people wanted. Working people want this stuff. They need this stuff. And yet, because of an entire political party and two Democratic senators, we're not going to get the things that we need. A generation will not get the things that they need.
And I think you may have saw the graphic. I saw it going around. But it was like 267,000 people in the state of West Virginia live in poverty. And there are zero billionaires in the state of West Virginia. But who is Joe Manchin looking out for when he is legislating? He seems to be looking out for the billionaires that don't even exist within his state. And when he is discussing or legislating on the climate package that is going to be in a Build Back Better bill, he is not thinking about the roads and bridges or the towns that will be flooded or destroyed because of the bodies of water and the rivers that they exist next to as climate change continues to pick up. He's not thinking about them. He's thinking about the big oil and coal companies that are shelling out millions to him and to his super PACs and to his campaign every year to make sure that Joe Manchin is happy. He doesn't really think about his constituents all that much. And I'd like someone to send Joe Manchin those poll numbers of people in West Virginia. I think 87% support the reforms in the voting rights bill that he helped put together. Yet I think he's going to let that die because he refuses to make any carve out the filibuster. He brought the number down on the Build Back Better bill, on that social spending bill, not because it was going to cost us too much, not that really it seemed like it was going to cost us much of anything if he would just raise taxes on the wealthy. He just didn't want to. It's really hard to know where Joe Manchin stands because it doesn't seem that he stands with his constituents. And it's also very difficult to know where Kyrsten Sinema stands because she won't tell us and she'll make jokes about it. And sometimes she's not even where she's supposed to be. She'll be missing votes. She'll be off in Europe drinking wine. And I don't know what she's doing. Does she want to be a senator? Is she running again? Because she likes to miss her job a lot.
Yeah. Oh, she was having biscuits with Mitt Romney. Did you see his tweet today?
I love Ted Lasso, but I do not love Mitt Romney as Ted Lasso. I was not okay with that. I said that I am going to be a goldfish and I'm going to forget this image as quickly as possible because I do not want to think about Mitt Romney and Kyrsten Sinema. That sounds terrible. As two people I don't want to be hanging out with.
But I'm going, don't you have something to do? Can't you get something done? Because look, at the end of the day, while they're mired in this moment, there are people who genuinely need help, especially in a place like West Virginia, which is one of the poorest states in the country. If I'm Manchin, the legacy is I brought home the bacon. I made sure that every kid didn't go to bed hungry. I made sure every kid had an opportunity to get that pre-K and to maybe get that community college degree at the end to help them get an education, either leave West Virginia or start businesses that make things better. It just seems like common sense.
It really does. And then you look at Sinema as well, and people will argue in her favor saying, well, maybe the people of West Virginia, it's not a huge Democratic majority in Arizona. So maybe she's just trying to represent her constituents. Her constituents voted for Joe Biden. They voted for this bill. They voted for Mark Kelly. They sent Joe Biden to the White House, and they sent Mark Kelly to the Senate to go pass this legislation. So I don't know what she's doing. And in 2018, she ran on the drug pricing reforms that she's opposing now. Now, I know that she's gotten a couple big checks from Big Pharma since then, so that might be the issue, that she doesn't want to upset her new best friends over in Big Pharma, but I don't see a single argument that can be made on behalf of Kyrsten Sinema suggesting that her constituents don't want these bills passed. The Democratic Party of Arizona has come out and said, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, we don't understand. We want you to pass these bills. The party wants you to. The people in your state want you to. Not just Democrats, independents, Republicans, alike, they want you to pass these bills. So get them done. Yep. And she hasn't.
Working people need it in 15 seconds. Does this get done?
Does it get done? I think it gets done at the number of the 1.75. But I don't see. We're losing things left and right. And it's an embarrassment, really, is what it is. And it's not looking good for 2022. But I think we still have time to turn it around.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But, Jack, I appreciate the time. Appreciate the work that you do. Hope people will check out the Zoomed In podcast and also some of the work you do over at Retire Marco and Remove Ron. Good stuff, Ron. Good stuff, Jack. I appreciate the time, man.
Thank you. Always love coming on.
Good stuff, Jack Cucciarella. Let's take a quick break right back after this. Stick around and listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people on the talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.